In the cutthroat world of arranged marriages and family feuds, few books have captured the raw intensity of enemies to lovers quite like Hateful Games. This dark romance has become TikTok's most recommended enemies to lovers story, with celebrities like Kendall Jenner spotted carrying a copy during Fashion Week. What makes this book particularly fascinating is how author Simran weaves Indian cultural elements with modern sensibilities, creating a cultural bridge many readers never knew they needed. The story of Nova and Rosalie, heirs to feuding business empires forced into marriage, has resonated with millions who find themselves drawn to the magnetic pull between two people who are supposed to despise each other but can't seem to stay apart. 16-year-old Rosalie Kapoor's world shatters when she's summoned to her father's office to discover the unthinkable. She's been promised in marriage to Nova de Cruz, heir to her family's generational enemies. Dressed in her signature black attire with fiery red hair cascading down her back, she sits beside her disapproving father in the mahogany-paneled office, her fingers gripping the leather armchair as he announces that she must sign a binding marriage contract with no escape clause. The afternoon sunlight streaming through the floor-to-ceiling windows seems to mock the darkness of the moment. "It was your mother's wish," her father claims smugly when she protests, wielding her deceased mother's memory like a weapon. The words hit Rosalie like physical blows, leaving her breathless and betrayed. The de Cruzes, Danish and his imposing son Nova, sit across from them, their expensive suits and cold demeanors perfectly matching the sterile atmosphere of the corporate boardroom. Nova's venomous amber gaze remains fixed on her throughout the proceedings, his jaw clenched in barely contained fury. Despite her desperate refusal and attempts to negotiate, Rosalie eventually signs the papers with shaky fingers, sealing her fate to a boy who represents everything she's been taught to hate since childhood. What follows is a declaration of war between the reluctant fiancés that transforms their prestigious Mumbai prep school into a battlefield. Nova corners her in empty hallways, demanding she call off the wedding within a week, his call frame looming over her petite one. When she challenges him to do it himself, knowing full well the consequences they'd both face from their families, he retaliates by burning her treasured first edition copy of Pride and Prejudice and delivers a chilling ultimatum. Call off the wedding, little Rose, or be prepared to burn for eternity. Their mutual hatred escalates to dangerous levels when Rosalie retaliates by blowing up Nova's prized Aston Martin in the school parking lot, a calculated move that costs her family millions but proves her determination. Rather than being frightened, Nova is impressed by her boldness, silently vowing to destroy her as their hateful games begin. This sets the pattern for their relationship, a dangerous dance of attraction disguised as loathing, where each act of revenge only draws them closer together in a twisted form of courtship that neither can escape. The brilliance of this arrangement lies in how it forces two strong-willed individuals into proximity despite their resistance. Their families, once bitter enemies over generations of business rivalries and personal vendettas, now expect them to present a united front at social gatherings while privately they plot against each other. Every charity gala becomes a chess match, every family dinner a carefully orchestrated performance where they must pretend to tolerate each other while planning their next move. This contradiction creates an irresistible tension that drives the narrative forward. How can you truly hate someone you're beginning to understand? How can you fight an attraction that grows stronger with every battle, especially when you start to realize that your supposed enemy might be the only person who truly sees you for who you are? Their forced engagement becomes a powder keg of emotions, complicated by their family's expectations and their own conflicted feelings. Each interaction reveals layers of vulnerability beneath their carefully constructed facades of hatred, leading to moments where the line between love and hate becomes increasingly blurred. 2 years later, 18-year-old Rosalie reluctantly prepares for a week-long trip to London for Nova's graduation. Their relationship has only worsened over time, with Nova's playboy reputation intact despite their engagement. When she arrives in London, Nova predictably abandons her at the airport, forcing her to make her own way to his penthouse apartment. There, she meets Malcolm, Nova's British roommate, who takes her to an underground fighting ring where she discovers a side of Nova she never expected, a ruthless, undefeated fighter who transforms from privileged heir to primal warrior in the ring. When Nova spots her in the crowd, he loses focus momentarily before carrying her away over his shoulder, establishing his dominance in a way that both infuriates and intrigues her. Unless you're willing to take care of the very hard problem you caused, I'd not utter a single word, he taunts her, making her blush despite her hatred. This dynamic, Nova's possessiveness clashing with Rosalie's defiance, becomes the cornerstone of their relationship. He claims he's changed his mind about breaking their engagement, explaining that at least with her, it'll be a hateful marriage rather than a loveless one. What Rosalie doesn't know is that Nova has gone to extreme lengths to ensure his claim on her, tampering with her life in ways she can't imagine. The years of separation have only intensified their connection, transforming childhood resentment into adult attraction. Nova's obsession with controlling Rosalie mirrors her determination to maintain independence. When he discovers she's been followed by a bodyguard he hired, she confronts him about controlling her life. He reveals he's had her followed for 2 years, initially to learn about the real her beyond her father's media portrayal, hoping to find secrets to use against her, but also to protect her given his own kidnapping experience as a child. This revelation provides the first glimpse into Nova's complex motivations. His hatred isn't simply inherited from family feuds, but stems from personal trauma, potentially linked to the Kapoors. Meanwhile, Rosalie struggles with her own demons, an abusive childhood at the hands of her uncle, neglect from her mother, and a controlling father who treats her as property rather than a daughter. 8 years after their initial engagement, 26-year-old Rosalie prepares for her wedding day with a sense of impending doom. The weight of family expectations and years of carefully orchestrated plans press down on her like a suffocating veil. Despite years of resistance, including 3 failed escape attempts and countless heated arguments, she's finally accepted that Nova de Cruz will soon be her husband. What the media breathlessly promotes as the bash of the year, 2 powerful feuding families uniting in love and peace, feels to Rosalie like an elaborate charade masking years of manipulation and corporate machinations. In a final defiant gesture that speaks volumes about her state of mind, she chooses a black wedding dress, deliberately challenging both tradition and her father's iron-fisted control. The dress becomes a symbol of her rebellion, a visual representation of her mourning for her lost freedom. When her father discovers this transgression during the final fitting, his carefully maintained public facade cracks. He physically assaults her in the bridal suite, leaving purple bruises blooming on her face and fingerprint marks on her arm before demanding she burn the dress. It's Nova who unexpectedly becomes her defender, bursting into the room and physically placing himself between father and daughter. For the first time, he establishes an unbreakable boundary with her father, making it clear that Rosalie's choices, starting with the dress, are hers alone to make. On their wedding day, Rosalie makes her entrance in a stunning black sparkling lace ball gown that draws audible gasps from the assembled guests. The sheer bustier top features intricate beadwork that catches the light with every movement, while embroidered black roses cascade down the multi-layered tulle skirt like a waterfall of darkness. To her genuine surprise, Nova appears in a perfectly tailored crimson suit, the color traditionally reserved for the bride and their culture, showing his own willingness to shatter conventions. His choice seems calculated to complement her rebellion rather than overshadow it. You look breathtaking, Rose, my gothic Barbie, he whispers as he takes her hand from her father, his touch lingering longer than necessary, his eyes holding a mix of possession and pride that unsettles her. Their wedding kiss becomes an instant scandal, indecent and ferocious, much like the man himself. He kisses her like a man starved, pouring years of pent-up anger, lust, and need into it, his hands gripping her waist with barely contained restraint. You're mine now, he growls against her lips, loud enough for the front row to hear, causing her mother to fan herself vigorously. The wedding night brings another battle of wills when Rosalie arrives at their honeymoon suite with her three beloved dogs in tow. Maggie, the wheezing pug, Fire, the neurotic chihuahua, and Bunny, the deceptively named yet aggressive pit bull. When Nova suggests, with careful diplomacy, that perhaps the dogs might be more comfortable in the adjacent pet suite he'd arranged, she meets his reasonable proposal with steel in her spine and fire in her eyes. She defiantly informs him that her dogs sleep with her, and he's welcome to take the plush couch if he objects. This scene masterfully illustrates the evolution of their relationship from childhood antagonists to reluctant adults locked in a complex power struggle infused with undeniable sexual tension. Their wedding represents not just the public union of two feuding business empires, but the beginning of a new phase in their personal war. One where the battlefield has shifted from boardroom confrontations and society events to intimate encounters behind closed doors. The black dress and red suit become powerful symbols of their shared defiance against tradition, even as they resist their growing attraction to each other. You look breathtaking, Rose, my gothic Barbie, he whispers as he takes her hand from her father, his touch lingering longer than necessary, his eyes holding a mix of possession and pride that unsettles her. Their wedding kiss becomes an instant scandal, indecent and ferocious, much like the man himself. He kisses her like a man starved, pouring years of pent-up anger, lust, and need into it, his hands gripping her waist with barely contained restraint. You're mine now, he growls against her lips, loud enough for the front row to hear, causing her mother to fan herself vigorously. The wedding night brings another battle of wills when Rosalie arrives at their honeymoon suite with her three beloved dogs in tow, Maggie the wheezing pug, Fire the neurotic chihuahua, and Bunny the deceptively named yet aggressive pit bull. When Nova suggests, with careful diplomacy, that perhaps the dogs might be more comfortable in the adjacent pet suite he'd arranged, she meets his reasonable proposal with steel in her spine and fire in her eyes. She defiantly informs him that her dogs sleep with her, and he's welcome to take the plush couch if he objects. This scene masterfully illustrates the evolution of their relationship from childhood antagonists to reluctant adults locked in a complex power struggle infused with undeniable sexual tension. Their wedding represents not just the public union of two feuding business empires, but the beginning of a new phase in their personal war, one where the battlefield has shifted from boardroom confrontations and society events to intimate encounters behind closed doors. The black dress and red suit become powerful symbols of their shared defiance against tradition, even as they resist their growing attraction to each other. The honeymoon in Italy marks a turning point in Nova and Rosalie's relationship. As they begin to lower their guards, long-held secrets start to surface. Nova reveals that Rosalie's father may have been involved in his childhood kidnapping, explaining the deep-rooted hatred he harbors for the Kapoors. Meanwhile, Rosalie shares her traumatic past with Nova, confessing that her uncle abused her as a child, burning her with cigarettes and locking her in dark rooms. Nobody will ever hurt you again, Nova vows, holding her tight and promising that her father will be the first to pay. The most shocking revelation comes when Rosalie attends a masked primal play party in Milan, seeking the thrill of submission that has become her coping mechanism for past trauma. When she's trapped in a maze with a masked pursuer who refuses to acknowledge her pleas to stop, she tears off his mask to discover Nova. He reveals the devastating truth. He's been her anonymous lover at these events all along, creating an elaborate scheme to possess her while keeping his identity secret. "You weren't choosing strangers," he tells her. "You were choosing me." Even more shocking, Nova confesses he was also Malcolm, her first lover, having switched masks with his roommate at a graduation party years ago. "No one was stealing your virginity but me," he declares possessively. These revelations demonstrate how their lives have been intertwined far more deeply than either realized. Nova's obsession with controlling Rosalie extends beyond their arranged marriage into every aspect of her life, while Rosalie's attempts to escape him have unknowingly led her right back to him. The masks they've worn, both literally in their sexual encounters and figuratively in their daily interactions, begin to fall away, forcing them to confront the truth of their connection. Their hatred has always been a thin disguise for deeper emotions neither was prepared to acknowledge. As Nova puts it, "I never truly hated you, only hated how you made me feel." As Nova and Rosalie settle into married life, the lines between hatred and attraction blur in unexpected ways. Their antagonistic relationship evolves through small, meaningful moments that challenge their preconceptions of each other. Nova discovers Rosalie's secret career as a successful romance author writing under the pen name Rose, the nickname he gave her years ago, though neither acknowledges the significance initially. Rather than reacting with judgment about her explicit content, Nova shows genuine interest in her work, even becoming possessive about certain scenes. He playfully interrogates her about character inspirations and offers to help her research future books, turning their shared moments into potential story material. Their domestic life peels back layers neither expected to find. Nova, who loudly proclaimed his hatred of dogs, particularly Rosalie's rescue mutts, quietly begins taking them for dawn walks. Most surprisingly, he forms an unlikely bond with Bunny, the traumatized shepherd mix who had never allowed anyone but Rosalie near him. She catches Nova sneaking the dog treats and speaking to him in soft tones when he thinks no one's watching. Meanwhile, Rosalie discovers that the afternoon snacks she assumed came from their cook are actually Nova's creations. He'd been taking secret baking classes to perfect her favorite pastries. She finds him reading romance novels on a Kindle he bought specifically so he could read her books discreetly anywhere. "You and I were meant to be, Rose," Nova tells her one evening as they sit in their library sharing wine and critiquing her latest manuscript. "Even if we hadn't been arranged to marry, I still would have found my way to you. Some things are written in the stars." When Rosalie faces humiliation at Nova's corporate event, where several executives mockingly read passages from her trashy novels aloud, Nova's response reveals the depth of his transformation. Instead of maintaining his corporate facade, he publicly defends her work and creativity. Later that week, he presents her with a leather-bound book containing hundreds of five-star reviews, fan letters, and testimonials about how her writing touched readers' lives. This gesture brings Rosalie to tears as she realizes, "I've fallen in love with my villain, except he was never really the villain I imagined." Nova's grandest gesture comes when he secretly purchases 20 acres of land for Rosalie's dream animal shelter. He presents the deed along with architectural plans that incorporate all the ideas she's mentioned over the years. Overwhelmed by his attention to detail and understanding of her passion, she pulls him close and kisses him deeply, whispering, "You, Nova de Cruz, make me the happiest I've ever been. I'm proud to be your wife, and you're all mine." This transformation from enemies to lovers isn't a sudden switch, but rather the culmination of years of interaction where hatred served as a safe disguise for deeper feelings. Their journey demonstrates how thin the line between love and hate truly is. Both emotions require intimate knowledge of another person and intense emotional investment. What began as a forced arrangement transforms into a chosen partnership as they discover they're perfectly matched in temperament, passion, and determination. Their story shows that sometimes the person we think we hate is actually the one who understands us best, waiting for us to see past our own prejudices. Just as Nova and Rosalie find happiness, their world implodes when Mihir Kapoor summons Nova and his father to a meeting. Mihir presents them with damning information about alleged corruption and demands Nova resign as CEO and sell their shares to him. The devastating betrayal becomes clear when Rosalie enters the room and stands beside her father. Mihir boasts that she's been spying on Nova's company since after their London trip 8 years ago, leaking confidential information. When Nova desperately confronts her, Rosalie pulls away, mocking him. "I can't believe this trick works every time. You never see me coming." She claims everything between them was a lie, that she only got close to gain his trust. Despite her betrayal, Nova refuses to divorce her or meet her father's demands, warning he has something that could destroy them both. "I don't love you. Never did, never will," she tells him coldly when he asks her to say she never loved him. What Nova doesn't know is that Rosalie's betrayal is itself a deception. After he leaves, she collapses in tears, her heart shattering. Every cruel word she spoke was a lie, except for making a deal with her father years ago when she was desperate to escape the engagement. Her monstrous uncle has returned, resurrected by her manipulative father who had this contingency plan all along. The situation worsens when Nova's mother, Teresa, dies in a car accident, a tragedy that's later revealed to be orchestrated by Rosalie's father and uncle, who were also responsible for Nova's childhood kidnapping. When Rosalie attempts to warn Nova, he cruelly rejects her, refusing to believe her revelations about her uncle being alive. This section of the story explores the devastating consequences of mistrust in a relationship built on shaky foundations. Despite their genuine love for each other, years of manipulation and secrets make it impossible for them to trust each other when it matters most. Nova's inability to believe Rosalie stems from his deep-seated fear that his happiness was too good to be true, while Rosalie's attempt to protect Nova by pushing him away backfires catastrophically. After Rosalie is severely injured in a fire at her father's house, Nova rushes to the hospital, consumed by guilt for not believing her warnings. When she regains consciousness, they give their statements to the police, detailing years of manipulation, abuse, blackmail, and murder perpetrated by her father and uncle. Despite their mutual love, Rosalie ends things with Nova, explaining, "Sometimes love isn't enough. I can't be with a man who doesn't trust me." She needs to find herself without the shadows of her past. Though heartbroken, Nova respects her decision but refuses to divorce her, promising, "We could never be over. You and I are forever, Rose." 6 months later, Nova reappears at the animal shelter where Rosalie works, declaring, "I can't stay away anymore." He becomes a regular volunteer, tackling the worst tasks cheerfully, despite Rosalie's attempts to drive him away. When she questions why he's willing to settle for friendship, he tenderly explains, "Because when I have you again, it won't be because of some obligation or a contract. It'll be because you chose to be mine and thought me worthy to be your husband." 3 months later, at Mumbai's first exclusive romance book signing event, where Rosalie reveals her identity as author Rose to her readers, Nova surprises everyone by appearing as the event's sponsor. He delivers a heartfelt speech about their love story and pleads, "Take me back because I can't stay apart from you anymore." Rosalie runs into his arms, crushing her lips against his as the crowd cheers. She whispers that she wants him to be her villain, but he responds, "I don't want to be your villain anymore, Rose. I just want to be yours." Their reconciliation represents true healing. Not just returning to their previous relationship, but building something stronger based on choice rather than obligation. Nova's willingness to wait for Rosalie to choose him demonstrates his growth from possessive controller to respectful partner. Meanwhile, Rosalie's journey from victim to survivor allows her to enter the relationship as an equal rather than someone defined by past trauma. Hateful Games ultimately explores whether two people forced together by circumstances beyond their control can find genuine love through choice. Nova and Rosalie's journey from reluctant fiancés to passionate spouses to estranged partners and finally to chosen companions demonstrates that even the most predetermined path can become a choice. Their initial meeting, orchestrated by feuding families seeking to consolidate power, sets up what appears to be a classic tale of duty over desire, but quickly evolves into something far more complex and nuanced. The story challenges the traditional narrative of arranged marriages by showing that true connection requires more than family approval or social compatibility. It demands mutual respect, trust, and the freedom to choose each other despite having every reason not to. Through carefully crafted scenes of both conflict and tenderness, we see how Nova and Rosalie's relationship transforms from a cold business arrangement into a passionate battle of wills. The hateful games they play throughout their relationship, from Nova's calculated seduction to Rosalie's strategic resistance, serve as both obstacles and stepping stones toward understanding each other on a deeper level than most couples ever achieve. The novel's exploration of control versus choice extends beyond romance into family dynamics, trauma recovery, and personal identity. Rosalie's journey from her father's property to Nova's wife to an independent woman who chooses her own path reflects the universal struggle for autonomy. We see this particularly in her decision to open her own business despite family opposition, and in her confrontation with her father's manipulative behavior. Similarly, Nova's evolution from seeking revenge to pursuing love shows how choosing compassion over hatred can break generational cycles of violence and mistrust. His transformation is marked by key moments of vulnerability, including the scene where he finally reveals the truth about his mother's death to Rosalie. The author weaves throughout the narrative various symbols of choice and fate. The inherited engagement ring that Rosalie eventually replaces with one she chooses herself, the family estate that becomes a battleground for independence, and the recurring motif of locked doors gradually opening. These elements reinforce the central theme that true love isn't about destiny, but about daily decisions to stay, to trust, and to grow together. In the end, what makes their love story compelling isn't just the intense passion or dramatic conflicts, but the fundamental truth it reveals. That even when fate arranges the meeting, only choice can create a lasting bond. As Nova puts it in his final declaration, "I don't want to be your villain anymore, Rose. I just want to be yours." This simple statement encapsulates the transformation from playing roles assigned by others to choosing who they want to be for each other, the ultimate victory in their hateful games. Their final reconciliation comes not through family pressure or social obligation, but through their mutual decision to rewrite their own story on their own terms.